Well, I have the privilege of introducing our speaker this morning. It's a man who needs no introduction. It's Scott Middle. So, Scott, if you'd come down. You guys are in luck because Scott told me that he would work for Sweet Tea and M&M's. They only had the orange kind. Sorry.
All right.
So you guys are in luck. This one's on me.
We made it.
But the thing is, you're going to get an M&M and Sweet Tea sermon this morning.
That's right.
But seriously, Scott and I have become really good friends over the last few years. I'm just so glad that God brought us together, Ohio, Kansas. We met in the middle, kind of, Iowa. So I'm just really glad that God brought us together. So I know he's got a really good word from the Lord this morning. He always does. So he's very in tune to what the Lord has for him and for us. So keep your ears open. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this morning. God, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you. God, we thank you for this opportunity to have Scott bring us a word this morning. Well, Lord, I know that he's got some good words from you. Just help us as a congregation to open our ears and open our hearts to what you have for us through Scott. And we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, brother. So there I was, walking into my church, walking through the back door, seeing the sanctuary, walking up in a church that I've been a part of for 3 years, walking in feeling like I didn't know anybody. Look around, just had this really weird feeling that just nobody knew who I was. I felt lost, felt alone, felt by myself. A place where I've led a small group, a place where I've helped with worship, a place where I'd help with teenagers. And I walked in, and I was just feeling totally alone. People all I knew all around. And I couldn't figure it out. That was before church even started. But even as church started and we were worshiping, I just felt so drawn away from everything that was happening. It was like I was living in a different person's body, like it was a different world. I didn't understand. But even in a place of 3 years, it felt like the world around me just didn't get me. Didn't really know who I was. I felt all alone. And I remember driving home with my family. Even my family's there, and I still felt like I was all alone. I drove home, and we ate dinner, and everything kind of started to click back into kind of the normal routine of how life was supposed to go. Went and taught youth group that night. Get home after youth group. And I get this text, this Facebook message from a kid that's normally in youth group that wasn't there that night. And he began to message me about how he felt so alone and by himself and like nobody understood who he was. Now, his family goes to that church. He's been a part of that church for a long time. People know who he is. But he began to talk about how he felt like there was nobody on his side. Nobody was with him. Nobody understood where he was at. He just felt so alone. And I started thinking, and praying and thinking that's what that morning at church was all about. God gave me a really bad time at church of feeling all alone and all by myself just so that I would know what it felt like for this young man in this youth group. I don't know if you know what it feels like to walk into a place and feel like you're all by yourself and you're all alone and nobody understands you. I experience that way more than what you understand or would ever know. It may look like I fit into just about everywhere I go, but I know that my brain thinks differently than just about everybody I know. I know the way that I act. I know the way I talk. I know the way I junk around. I know all this stuff, and the way that I see things is just different. And so I can walk into places, and though I am comfortable, and I can talk to anybody and everybody, that's part of who God has made me to be. There are parts of me that I see things that I cannot talk about because nobody would get it. Nobody would understand. And it was just a glimpse of what it felt like to be in somebody else coming in going, I don't get it. I'm all alone in a place that everybody knows me. So I don't know if you know what that feels like. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about that, and I want to open up with some scripture. Here's a reason why. It's because we're living in a culture, kind of a culture shift. I don't know if this thing works. There we go. We're living in a culture shift. It's different. This culture we live in is different than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, definitely, 30 years ago. We're in a different place. This morning, I just want to read the scripture to you. Comes out of 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. I don't know what page that is in your Bible. Some people know that. I have not memorized that yet. So 1 Peter 5. We're going to start with verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little, while will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast to him, be the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. God, we take this moment to stop. And to create a space for you to be able to move in our hearts and our minds. And let your spirit intercede so we can hear your voice. Let it be loud and clear. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, we're missing a slide. Look at that. Okay. So our culture is different. And because of the culture difference, we somehow have got to work on figuring out how to, again, engage with our teens and young adults. And we find that very difficult. You see, I don't think it's just difficult in the church. I've watched the church struggle to try to figure out how do we deal with teens and young adults? How do we connect with teens and young adults? I'm watching schools right now struggle to figure out how to interact and lead teens and young adults. And I'm watching parents struggle. How do we do this? We're in a different culture. We're in a different time. We're in a different place. It doesn't seem to fit the way it's always fit before. And so as I'm moving on into some new territories, my ultimate goal is I want to see teens and young adults become all that they're supposed to be. I want to see them live up to be who God's called them to be, use the gifts and talents that they're in them because God created them to be that way. And I've sent teens and young adults to conferences and retreats and camps and all these different things. I've watched God move in crazy ways. And then we come home. And I watch teens and young adults come home and come back to churches and come back to schools and come back to parents. And it goes back to, this is the way it's always been. And it seems like the slow fade of the Spirit that was laid on them at these camps or retreats in different places slowly fades because they have to fit back into the norm of what it's always been. And so as I think about wanting to affect teens, young adults, I want to figure out how to change the culture in which we adults have created in the first place. You see, I hear all this, right? You can watch the news, you can read news articles, you can see magazine articles about how bad the teens and young adults are today. And I get so sick and tired of hearing it. So tired of it. Because if we think teens and young adults have turned out the way they are because of them, we're dead wrong. We're the ones that have created this culture. We're the ones that have created an environment in which what you see is happening. We have a piece of that. At some point, we have got to jump in and say, what is our part in this? How do I jump in? How do I become part of the solution as opposed to part of the stand back and watch and point and call names, right? So at some point, we've got to move from pointing fingers to, let's do this together. I want to be a part of the solution. So this morning, as I have read the scripture, there's a couple things that I want to point out that I see in this scripture. First thing is, I want to talk about trust. You see, teenagers and young adults need to trust somebody. And my question is, are we giving them somebody to trust? Right? Are we being the people that need to be, that they can trust? Are we there to listen to them? Are we there to ask questions, to actually dig into their lives? Are we there just to tell them and judge them and tell them, this is how you're supposed to do this? Or do we actually want to know what God's talking to them in their life? Do we actually want to know where God might move them? Do we actually want to know what their gifts and talents are? Do we want to know that stuff? Or do we want to say, you know what, if you learn that stuff, you're going to mess up my church. It's not going to look the same anymore. If you do that stuff, you're going to mess up my school, or you're going to mess up our home, and it's not going to look, because I can't control that. And so this morning, as I look over the scripture, I've just kind of highlighted a couple of things that I want you to see, that I think God was pointing to. So this first part, it's for the elders. Now, when I read these elders, I guess when I'm looking at that, I'm not looking at elders as the people that are the, I don't know, we call it probably MNC elders, right? First of all, I don't see a capital E on it, so I don't know if that's what a real elder is supposed to be. And I don't have an age cutoff. I think this is just older adults. And I think I'm there. Right? I think I'm in that place where I am now, as Paul says, I appeal as a fellow elder. As someone that's with you. Not just saying this is what's supposed to happen, but I am with you in this. We have got to do this together. Right? To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, the one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Listen, verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock. We often call pastors shepherds. We often call shepherds because what I read this is saying, a shepherd is like, come on in here. We can do this together. Right? Everybody in, do the holy huddle, you know, kind of, we're all together. We're going to do this. We need to be gathering people together. That's kind of, we want to gather our people together. A shepherd. Listen, this is from a city boy. I don't know. I grew up in the city. So they always talk about farming stuff in the Bible. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. But what I get from thinking about pastors and shepherds is it's always this gathering together and going together, right? We as elders, we need to stop saying, okay, you guys are over there, we're over here. You're over there, we're over here. You guys have your loud music, we don't, right? You want your chairs, we want our pews. We can go through all the stuff of what separates us. You have your Sunday school class over there, we're going to have ours. Like, we can go through. But we as elders, how do we go? We're shepherding. We're together. We're going to move together. That is under your care, serving as overseers. I love the idea of an overseer. Because what I don't read is serving as controllers. Do you guys see that? Because as an adult, sometimes I want to control things all around me. I want to control exactly what's going to happen when I walk in the door. I know that my kids are going to address me this way, and I know that they're going to do this, and I want to control exactly what my kids are going to do. I have two kids. One's in middle school, and one's in high school. Whew! That just happened. Oh, man. But what we've learned as parents, as adults, is to begin to create a controlled environment in which everything goes according to plan of how we want it to happen. So most often we come in and we don't want to be overseers of our kids and teenagers and young adults. We want to be controllers. And yet that leaves out the Spirit of God, in which the Spirit of God is moving in our teens and young adults to do what God's calling them to do, not what we are calling them to do. So at what point do we back off from being controllers and step into being an overseer and going, let me help you see this from a different perspective. I'm going to help you oversee this, right? Not because you must, we're going to continue verse 2, but because you are willing. church committees, greeters, I heard this morning. Hey, can we, maybe I shouldn't say this. I overhear things sometimes. I'm just like, man, that fit perfect in the sermon. Hey, can we put in the bulletin that we need some more greeters and some more children workers and some more of this and some more of that? We're always looking for people to fit in to what we've already got going on, don't we? Now listen, I'm not saying we don't need those things to happen. I'm not saying we don't need greeters. I'm not saying we don't need children's workers. I'm not saying, but what if our teens, young adults don't fit into those little molds anymore? What if they got something else that God's like, hey, let's go? And it's not because we have to oversee them. It's not because we have to be here. It's not because we have to be a greeter or have to do, because we want to. At what point do we get to walk in and not be a controller and go, I'm doing this because I want to see you grow. I want to see you do exactly what God's calling you to do. And whatever it takes for me to do that, I want to be here for that. Because I want to. You know what? Our kids and our teens and your grandkids and your kids, they can see right through things that you have to do. We've taught them very well to see fake. They see fake great. And so they walk in and they're like, ugh. And you're just, you know, like there are times, listen, as a parent, I get it. They walk in, I'm in the middle of doing something on my iPad, probably playing a game, and they walk in and I'm like right in the middle. I'm like, give me like 2 minutes. They're like, go on, Dad, I need you to do something right now. And I'm like, ugh. I can't do this right now. They sense that. They know what that is. They know that. Because it's not because I want to, it's because I have to. It changes your attitude, the way that you think. It's going to change their attitude and the way that they think about how involved you are, right? And then be eager as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Eager to serve. Again, not control, not put into a box to control, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you. Maybe I shouldn't talk about that. So many times it's also easy for us to come in and it's, listen, I've been leading a lot of things for a lot of years. And I know what it's like to come in and to watch somebody come in and go, okay, we're going to do it this way, we're going to do it this way, we're going to do it this way. Okay, do it because I'm in charge. Do it because this is the way it's got to be done. It's been done like this for 50 years. We can't change this. I'm in charge. Remember, God didn't put us in charge. He's given us some leadership abilities or leadership to be helping or overseeing, but not to take charge and go, it has to look just like this. What if it has to change? Maybe the reason we're struggling with some of our culture is that we haven't let things change for such a long time. And so we can't lord it over those. They've been entrusted. God has put them in our care. As they walk into our churches, as they walk into our lives, as they are our neighbors, as they are the people that are down the street, as they are in our families, they have been entrusted to us to help take care of them, to help shepherd them. And yet sometimes we stand up on the front and we look down and go, this is how it's going to be. And this is lording over somebody. Standing over top of somebody and going, this is it. How many teens and young adults go that you know go, man, I want that kind of a leader. I want someone just like that to tell me exactly how to breathe, how to brush my teeth, how to like go through the whole deal, right? Not to lord it over. And if you can accomplish those things, still in verse 3, but being examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This is elders. 1 Peter 5. This is us trying to figure this out. Right? This is how we are to approach the church, how we're to approach the other people, the younger people in our midst. Verse 5. Yes, finally we get to the young people. It's their turn. Time for them to feel the wrath, right? So here we go. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. The other context, maybe I shouldn't bring this up. As I have done some stuff with William Penn University, with students and ministry camp on campus there. We have a young lady, she's probably 25, has been helping out and doing some, being a part of some of the ministry stuff that's happened there from our community. And there are times where we get the college students together and she jumps up and starts talking about how women need to be submissive to their husbands. And there's something to me that starts to kind of crouch down a little bit. Because I've been around young adults and teenagers and I start to get a little worried. But she's saying, listen, you have got to be submissive. Like, she's going off on being submissive. That's the other part I remember when I think about submissive is wives being submissive to your husbands. And I'm like, oh, that's a scary thing to talk about. You can't talk about that. But this is what I think, is I think back to the marriage part of wives being submissive to the husbands because the husbands love their wives. You know how much easier it is to be submissive to somebody that you know loves you with everything that they have, and they'll do anything for you, and be a part of your life and will cover you and will do everything to make you the best person you can be? It changes the marriage. It changes that submissive part. Because if we can love somebody to the point that we are going, man, I will do anything to help you out. Now listen, I'm not saying there's no discipline. I'm not with wives and husbands. Hold on. Let me be careful here. I'm not saying that there aren't ways that we need to be with our teens, young adults, and how to help to discipline them and how to get them to move in the right direction. Don't hear me say that. But what I'm saying is, if they know that you have their best interest in mind, it changes that relationship of being submissive. Because then it doesn't feel like submissive. As a wife, you shouldn't start to feel, oh, I feel submissive, because your husband is loving you to the best of their ability. And you know that they have your best interest in mind. At what part do we go, okay, this sounds really good. Husbands, we quote, hey, wife, be submissive to me. So we do that sometimes. Well, Larry does. None of the rest of us are allowed to say that. Somehow Larry does, and we all laugh. So, but I want to go back to young men in the same way, be submissive. And I'm going to cover all young people, not just young men. My question is, what is our part in that? We can easily point out and go, hey, look, the scripture says, be submissive, kid. But what part as elders do we have in this process of being a place, be loving? And what part do we have to play into being loving so that the submissive doesn't feel like this overburden? It's this, we're part of the community, we're part of what's happening going forward. Not we just have to fit in to what's already happening. So, young people, we do need to be submissive. Elders, we need to figure out how to create an environment in which that can be okay. Because listen, I don't want to submit to somebody that's going to tell me exactly what to do, which is the complete opposite of what I'm supposed to be doing. That's really hard. I don't know if you've ever been in that job. I don't know if you've been in that position where someone's telling you to do this, but you know it's wrong. That's how teenagers are coming in and going, how am I going to submit to something that I think goes against who God's calling me to be? Again, truth is truth. Don't hear me say that we're finagling the truth. The truth is we're going to follow God's word. But sometimes we use all these other things to create these issues that our teens, young adults do not want to be submissive to, right? So, that there is a trust. We are building trust with our teens, young adults. We're building trust with those young people around us in any way that we can so that they know that we have their best interest in mind. Maybe we need to figure out if we do have their best interest in mind. Maybe that's the first question. Or do we just want to keep doing things we've always done? The problem is the culture has changed that. The culture used to be, as a kid, I could go in and I had go to school, I could go to church, I could do other things, but I knew I had a stable life at home. We're in a different culture. That stableness is not there anymore, and we don't have anybody that's listening to our kids. We don't have people that are taking interest in our kids the way that it was when I was growing up. We as a church got to figure that out and help our parents figure that out and help our schools figure that out. Even as a teacher, going in there and just throwing your finger in someone's face and go, you've got to learn this, you've got to get a good grade so that the way, as a parent that also has a wife that's a teacher, so I can't say these things out too loud too often, I feel like it's too much about a grade for the student, which then gives a grade to the teacher, which then gives a grade to the school. And what I want to see is our kids growing up to be everything that they can be. And it's not about a grade. It's about learning in their way so that they can be what they're supposed to be. I think as a church, we have the opportunity to do that. So, it is to become part of their team, part of being on their side so that they will listen, so that we will listen to them. And in return, if you start to listen to them, they will listen back to you. I think the other part of this is you teach. As adults, teach, as we're talking about verses 5 through 10. Adults need to teach. Teens, young adults, we need to be taught. We don't get off early easy. We're not going to say, okay, this is all for the adult sermon. No. I'm in the same boat. I still need to be taught. I think we all still need to be taught, but I still want to be taught. I still want to learn from somebody else. And so as elders, we're helping to teach this stuff. As students and as young adults, we need to be taught. But we need somebody to show us. Verse 6 is, again, this is being directed to young people. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Humble yourselves. Again, we all love hearing the word humble. It makes us feel really good inside, right? But as teenagers, guess what? I don't know if you've ever dealt with a teenager, but they know everything. Right? As adults, we see that. Teenagers have no clue that they know everything. They think they know everything, right? And so everything I hear at home is, I know, Dad, I know, I know, I can do that, I know. So as teens and young adults, we've got to figure out how to be humble and go, okay, let me learn. I want to learn. Part of that is, are we in a culture and environment in which that can happen? Are we in a place where we want to learn under somebody that is going to actually pay attention to us and love us for who we are? Therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, cast all your anxiety on him. How many people do we know that are teens, young adults that struggle with anxiety? It is an epidemic. We're all worried about our housing. We're worried about shootings in stores, in schools. Worried about a boyfriend, girlfriend, which us adults laugh at, but we have to remember what that's like going through that again, remembering back to what that was like. Those were like life-ending things when your boyfriend broke up with you, but we have to remember what that's like. We can't just laugh it off and be like, that's stupid, you'll find somebody else. That's not, we need to live into their world, but they need to be, we want them to be humble, but we have to give them an environment in which that can happen. Right? Cast all your anxiety because they are so... This is their world. Anxiety is the world of our teens, young adults. Number 8, be self-controlled and alert. Listen, I've been in a lot of places where I'm not alert. There are places I've had to learn. So as I have taken mission trips, as I've taken kids to camps, there's something about being alert to everything that's happening. Listen, I have this little thing called ADHD, and I love it, right? It's one of my favorite things to talk about because I love having it. I think it's a gift. Other people might disagree. I'm going to go with the gift, right? But here's the deal. I can be alert to everything that everybody's doing in this room all at the same time. That's just part of my gift. So as I'm up front speaking, I can see what's going on while I have 6 things going on in my brain, and which one am I going to pick to say this time? But it's being alert. It's being that you have got to be intentional about being alert. So when I go on mission trips and I have 10 kids with me, and we're walking down New York City, I'm very alert about seeing that everything's going around, happening. Teens, young adults, we've got to figure that out. We're in a place that we just have to be alert to what's happening around us. And adults, in the store, be alert. Just always be alert of what's happening around the corners, about you're just kind of having this visual thing of what's happening all around you. We as young adults need to realize that and learn that. See, young adults, we think that our world's never going to end. We are home free and we can live forever. And part of being alert is starting to realize maybe that's not totally true. And we have to be part of what's happening around us. Be alert. And being self-controlled in what we are doing. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is looking for you guys. He is looking for our teens and young adults. He's looking for everybody. But he's specifically looking at teens and young adults because, here's a cool thing. I think it's cool. I don't know if you guys know this. In the brain, your brain is not fully developed to the age of like 27. It's the frontal lobe, right up here. It is not fully developed here like 27. You know what the frontal lobe does? It helps you to assess risk. It helps you to know that something is wrong, or that if you do this stupid thing, you're going to get hurt. That part is not developed. I love that. Because what this means is if we can be the community in which people can come into and feel like they're a part of and can grow into who God's calling them to be, there is nothing stopping them from doing what God's calling them to do. They're going to go at it with everything they've got. Because there's no fear to keep them from doing that. That's why we can send teenagers on a mission trip, and they don't care. Listen, I've been watching our college students from Iowa Meeting travel to all kinds of different parts of the world and different mission organizations. They're just going. First of all, because they can. But secondly, what do they got to lose? We're going to go. This is what God's saying. We're going to go. This is what God's saying. I'm going to go. Are we enabling that kind of mentality to go out, right? Devil's looking. Let's keep sending them. Let's keep helping people stay alert and be self-controlled. Verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Resist the devil. Resist Satan. Standing firm in the faith. We have got to stand firm. We've got to know what the Scripture's saying. We got to be listening in our Sunday school classes or in our church sermons. We've got to be listening. We've got to be studying on our own in our own homes. That is standing firm, knowing what we believe, which will also point to where we're going. Stand firm. Because remember, the devil is prowling around like a lion. The more we know, how's that commercial go? Right? There's like a... Yeah, da-da-da-da, the more you know. The more you know about who God is and standing firm on faith, and in him will create this foundation in which it's harder for Satan to attack. He's still going to attack, but you've got a better footing, right? So stand firm, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same sufferings. So we've got trust. Here's the deal. As I look at this and I think about being taught or for us to teach and for our teens, young adults to be taught, this is the stuff they need to know. This is the stuff we need to teach them. This is not natural. This is complete countercultural stuff that you're reading this morning. This is not normal. I don't want to walk in and submit to anybody. I don't want to walk in and be alert all the time. Man, there are times I just want to let go. Be able to go do whatever I want to do. Just be not with self-control, right? Get rid of all my anxiety. That sounds really good, but there's a lot of things to worry about. These are countercultural. And we as elders, we as adults, need to show them how to do this. Some of us, we need to learn it first. And then show somebody. Our teens and young adults don't want you to come in and say, this is exactly how you do it. They want you to come in and tell stories about how you got through that. They don't want to talk about just all the solutions. Go through the problems. Let them hear those and how the solution came. And here's one of my favorite parts. Is I think we need to send our teenagers and young adults to be empowered and released. Too many times we want to train them up and keep them right here. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Listen, I work at I get to do, again, at William Penn. Last couple of years, I've mentored a couple of students. And I've mentored them, and after a couple of years, they leave. And it's hard. It's one of the hardest things as you grow up in the church, right? You've seen your teenagers and your kids grow up, your grandkids grow up, and they're not here anymore. They're someplace else. Here's what I'm thinking. As hard as that is, let's send them out to be the kingdom somewhere else. We've got to release them and empower them to do that. We can't just expect them to get this through osmosis. Right? We can't just put a Bible on their pillow at night and hope that when they lay down on it, all of a sudden it's going to sink in and they're going to know exactly what they're supposed to do. We can't do that. We have got to say, instead of saying we're going to train them, we need to train. Listen, we need to train. But we can't think this is for us. This is for God's kingdom. We're going to send them, whether that's into their community here in Bangor, or in Eldora, or in, I can't name any place else. So we're going to stick right there. So we can train them for here. We can train them to be anywhere. Right? So we need to empower and release them. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory, this is again to the young adults and teenagers, called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That is God's promise to you as young adults and teenagers. He is going to pour into you and restore you because you've been in who God's called you to be. That's going to relieve some of your anxiety. That's going to relieve some of the stress. That's going to relieve some of that stuff. But he's going to make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And we've got to believe that, and we've got to love them, and we've got to teach that to our teens and young adults. Our teens and young adults got to know that. They're not out there on their own. They're not out there. As we send them to other places, they are not on their own. We've equipped them to go. We've equipped them to be in the university. We've equipped them to be there in a job. We've equipped them to go and but as teens and young adults, we've got to be empowered and go. Take the blessing of people and we as a church need to bless them and send them off. Man, I had an awesome time at College Avenue Friends Church a couple months ago. I got to take all the college graduates, all the high school graduates, and I got to send them. Go with God's peace and go do what God's called you to do. You've been here. You've absorbed some of this stuff. Now go. And make disciples of all the world. At William Penn, we have people from all over the world, not just Iowa, all over the world. Different countries, different states, even Michigan. That's where I want to send most of our missionaries. We've got to empower and send. But it's going to take us doing the first nine, eight verses for us to create a culture. Environment in which teens and young adults can grow, that's our job. That's the church's job. Trust, teach or taught, empower and release. We're going to take a few moments here for open worship. And so I guess I want to ask you as you look into yourself and say, God, what part of this are you laying on me? God, what are you speaking directly to me? What can I do better? What are the things I'm doing well? Where can I go? Maybe it's a name of somebody that just has popped up in your head as God's been speaking this morning. A name. And pray for that person. Say, God, how can I be a part of that person's life in a better way? Or maybe in a way that you've never been a part of. Open worship. There'll be mics around if you want to stand up, maybe. I'm just going to throw that out there. Let God speak to you this morning.